From the Simply Sense Candle Company studios at simplysensebyshan.com, here's what's coming up right now on the We Game podcast.
Sarah Church is the author of Mending My Mind. Take a seat as we mend our stories together. Let's get ready to game.
It's time to grow, align, manifest, and evolve. Are you ready to game? This is the We Game podcast.
What inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, thanks for asking me. What inspired me to write the book was I hit a breaking point in my life, quite frankly. And I didn't realize that there were things under the surface that I needed to deal with. So a little bit of the backstory is, when this all kind of happened, I was 40 years old. I was married to a woman, pretty happily married, I thought, had a great career and still do in biotech. We just bought a new house. Like, everything looked fantastic. And then there were some things that started coming up for me, and I just couldn't deal with them. I was overwhelmed in the relationship, and I literally just walked out on the marriage and kind of it sent me soul searching. What's going on? Why do I keep, having difficulties after 3 to 5 years in relationships with, nice people that I, end up just kind of walking away or avoiding, conflict, basically. Wow. And so anyways, that's kind of where the book starts. And I realized through seeing different therapists that I had complex PTSD from, childhood trauma that I never bothered to deal with.
Okay. I can relate to that. I'm 40 years old, and I was diagnosed with cancer at 39 years old on my birthday. And I thought I was in a good relationship and things looked good to me. However, I hadn't dealt with some trauma that was holding me back. I hadn't acknowledged it and given myself permission to heal from it. I kind of just was avoiding it, and it became really embedded in my characteristics, in my DNA, of allowing people to abuse me, actually. And so I can most definitely relate to how your childhood can prevent you from growing and overcoming, if you will.
Yeah, totally agree. And I can absolutely relate with what you're saying. You mentioned some words in there, avoiding dealing with things. And I used overwork to avoid. And the thing is, society rewards overworking.
God,
so it just reinforced nothing's wrong with me. But I had a pretty much a work addiction, more or less. And when you also mention your cancer diagnosis, which I'm so sorry that happened especially on your birthday, or happened at all. For me, I had some catalyzing events in my life happening that were a wake up call. Okay. Not cancer, but certainly that made me start to
made you look inward.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, where are you from, Sarah?
Yeah, I'm originally from St. Louis.
Okay.
I work out of Seattle now. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Houston. However, I've been thinking about, we've been thinking about, my partner and I moving to Seattle. Seattle is beautiful. I have a couple of friends and family members that live there. My friend lives in Tacoma, so... Seattle is really nice. Yes, that's great. Maybe we'll be neighbors.
Let me know if you end up there. Like, it's a very cool city with great people and a nice, creative vibe. And yeah, it's vibrant other than the rainy weather.
Love rainy weather. So that was one of the pluses for me. I love rainy days. I feel like it washes all the worries away and people sit down a little bit more where it doesn't rain often. So, it kind of makes a settled day. I'm into that.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying. Then Tacoma's going to be, great.
Yeah. So when you were writing this book, Mending My Mind, what are some of the tools that helped you along the way while you were mending your mind, while you were on this soul searching journey? What was the actual awakening? Because for me, I feel like when cancer, I started to appreciate life differently, and I use the phrase all the time, time is of the essence. And you know, it's like, mm-hmm. you can't take it for granted. And cancer most certainly put me in the mind frame of, you know, I have this life, I have this one life to do my best and be the best that I can be. But by what measuring stick, what is my value system that I'm doing that on, and what's stopping me from doing that? And it was me not dealing with trauma and me not facing the trauma and allowing that trauma to dictate some of the characteristics of avoiding and escapism and things that happen when you avoid trauma. So what was it for you that actually, like, boo, made you wake up, and some of the tools that you use along the way once you woke up?
Sure. Yeah. No, everything you're saying is hitting home for me. There were two things that woke me up. The first thing is when, you know, my ex-wife and I started having very normal marriage conflicts, in particular, should we have children or not? And the company I was working for just got acquired. So kind of normal real world things that couples, you know, mm-hmm. talk through and work through. I got so overwhelmed that my default was to not talk. Like, we weren't the type that ever argued or fought, and actually that was a red flag. Like, I just really avoided keeping it real and having those conversations. So I walked out. I was, you know, sitting in an Airbnb, like, trying to regroup and figure out, why did I just, you know, literally kind of, instead of having, you know, the difficult conversations, just kind of walk out. So I had a lot of time to reflect sitting in that Airbnb separated from my spouse. The second thing for me is I called my mom up and I said, I need some help. Like, something's wrong. I just know something's off. And, you know, I literally just kind of left my house in an Airbnb, and she flew to Seattle from St. Louis, actually.
Oh, great mom. I have a great mom too. That's great that you have that. That's such a blessing.
No, it is. It is. You know, it's a huge blessing. She brought with her relics from my childhood, like old letters and documents. And just, I had like a suitcase of childhood stuff that was like a time capsule.
Wow.
For whatever reason, she thought to bring it. And she's like, well, you know, the answers may be in here. And there was like this grocery bag of letters, and I pulled out some stuff, and I saw an article about a girl who was shot, a teenage girl that was my same age in my same neighborhood at the time. And then digging through letters, I found more, like, classmates writing me, like, I'm so sorry that, you know, your best friend was shot and you were there. Or letters I was writing to her after she was shot about it, that really kind of put me at the scene. And I was 13 at the time this happened, and I had no memory of you know, this person or this incident, and everything in my body just totally numbed, like, quick, like a light switch. And I was like, oh, something's really wrong. Like, so I went, you know, straight to see a trauma specialist at that point and started unpacking, like, oh, my like, jeez.
Wow, that's like something there. That's a hell of a wake-up call. Let me just say, GAME is an acronym for growth, alignment, manifestation, and evolution. And so, you know, we game is when people come to the show, I'm most definitely interested in sharing our stories. And it's the common ground of being a human, where there are what I would like to call unfortunate truths, you know, things that happen that you have no control over. And when you have those things, some of us, especially when they happen to you as a child, you don't know what to do with that truth. And it's amazing how the mind and the body reacts and will protect you from that by, you, like you said, you didn't remember it. You didn't have a recollection of what had happened. But as you read those letters, it kind of puts you right back at that, like right back at that spot, where you able to encounter those feelings again, if That's how it was for me. Once I started facing trauma, I was right back at the beginning of it. And just saying it out loud gave me empowerment to acknowledge it. And once I acknowledged it, then I was able to feel it. I allowed myself to actually feel it. And so, I mean, listening to you open those letters, I'm wondering, like, when you had those feelings, did it start clicking right away? Like your journey, you just like, you know, I have to encounter this. I have to do something about this.
Yeah, exactly. And everything that you said really made a lot of sense from what I learned kind of working through trauma therapy. Exactly. We have these super powerful coping mechanisms that protect us as children. And one common thing can be literally kind of forgetting memories. It's actually quite common. Or having super intense visceral memories on the flip side of a traumatic experience. Another point that really hit home for me that you said is kind of connecting to emotions, because I just numbed out or avoided, and people numb out different ways. They use substances,
shopping,
they overwork, they can use food.
Working.
Yeah, lots of ways. Mine just was work.
Right.
Yeah, so I had to start dealing with emotions. Like you mentioned, kind of connecting to your emotions.
It's not fun either. Dealing with emotions, you know, especially when you think you've been dealing and then you realize that you haven't. And you're like, wait a minute, I haven't been dealing with emotions? You mean I was pissed off all that time? No, you wasn't dealing with emotion. You was dealing with a feeling from an emotion that you hadn't dealt with.
Yeah, totally. Exactly. And once I started feeling and letting myself feel emotions, like they were quite overwhelming. You know, that's when all the nightmares and flashbacks and all that sort of, like, I went back to that time period of my life. And there was other stuff like substance abuse in my home as a kid. But yeah, exactly. So once you start dealing with it, whoa, I mean, for me, it was quite overwhelming for a while until I learned two skills. The first skill was, how do I stay connected to my emotions without shutting them off? And that took a while. And then number two, how do I regulate all these emotions I'm now feeling? And so that those were two big kind of skill sets I've had to learn.
Yeah. And I imagine writing, because I'm a writer as well. And I aspire to finish my book. The name of my book is The Drowning Flower. And as a writer, the outlet of writing sometimes helps with those emotions. Were you new to writing when you started writing Mending My Mind, or had you been a writer on the side of, you know, had you had an interest in it, or had you suppressed your writing? How did you get into that? Cause I know that had to be a part. Was it the therapy telling you to journal, and you realized as you was journaling, you know, I have a story to tell.
Yeah, no, I love the title of your book, by the way, and look forward to reading it when it's out. I had not written a book before. However, I've dabbled in writing through the years. I used to write poetry quite a bit as a kid. I've always had an interest in it, and to kind of, you know, I think your other point is like the writing process was one of the tools that I used to heal and process, you know, process all of these unprocessed things that I had never dealt with. And we're in COVID time, so I had lots of time.
Okay.
To sit and write. And it was, you know, in addition to therapy and, you know, the health and well-being type of things that I've done, like, you know, meditation and exercise, writing was just this immensely powerful healing tool for me.
Yes, it could be so healing when you write the words down and you read them back. I was telling someone before that when I write, sometimes when I write and I go back and read something I wrote 2 years ago, and I'll read it and it's so in depth. But at the time that I'm reading, I'm like, wow, I was writing to myself. I can remember feeling that what inspired me to write that, my subconscious wrote it to me. I wrote it to myself. So that's the part
of, so interesting.
And that's the part of the vulnerability of sharing your story. That's why we game is so important, especially in America right now with the race tensions being so high, because we have to be transparent and vulnerable enough to share our stories and meet on a common ground. And not so much as fight for liberation, but activate liberation by liberating ourselves and freeing ourselves from some of the things that are enslaving us mentally.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I'm white, so I can't say I've walked in those shoes. But what I can say is what I've learned through kind of intense kind of trauma healing journey and working with some of the best specialists and reading, you know, numerous books and textbooks on it. There's a collective trauma that has really hit certain communities, obviously the Black community, the Jewish community. There's a lot of documented literature on this. And I just think storytelling is such a powerful way of
connecting,
dealing with yeah. things that are, you know, traumatic, quite frankly, going on in society. Yeah, like, a long time ago, I dated a Black woman, and she taught me a lot of things that I took for granted. Like, for example, you know, the fear that comes up when being pulled over by a police officer and the training her parents gave her on how to hold her hands and talk to the police officer.
Yes.
Each of these things, this is an additional stress that she had to deal with that I never had to deal with. This activates our stress response system, and these types of things, you know, can cause post-traumatic stress disorder, frankly.
Oh, most definitely.
Yes.
Being embedded with that thought process of, I'm in an interracial relationship now, and we talk about it all the time. Some of the things that, and it's not, this is what I think is confusion. Before I say this, I think people get confused. We don't choose to be, I didn't choose to be Black. I am Black. You didn't choose to be white. You are white. But you know what's more important than that? We're human. And so we don't choose. And so you get here as a human and you learn and you're taught. And then you get an opportunity to mature as an adult. And you have a way to perceive that as you are living your life. And for me, this is my first interracial relationship, and it's been a lot of teaching on both ends, though. I mean, because here's the thing, you're a product of what we're all a product of the past. We're products, we're results of. And so even though you and I are sitting here and we're getting along fine, we still have to deal with the subconscious of the things that we were conditioned to think and we were taught. We have to break those barriers down. And the way that I do that for myself is I remember that we're human and I remember that I'm not in control. So it gives me, I have compassion for us as a community, and that being America, a community in America. Like at the end of the day, the people that are in the power, they are keeping up this fight, and we have to do our best on ground level to dispel and deactivate some of those fights that are perpetuated in the media. And that's why books like Mending My Mind and podcasts like We Game are important, because there are people like you and I that haven't reached the breaking point yet, you know, and this is for them. This is for them to, maybe they won't have to break. Maybe this will be a aha moment instead of, you know, that breaking point is exactly what you said. You look up and you done everything and tore everything down. And you're like, why did I even do that? Wait a minute.
No, what you're saying makes so much sense to me. I like how you're putting it, because, you know, well, number one, like it took me blowing up, you know, more than one great relationship with quality, you know, people, for me to like start to really deal with my stuff. Because, you know, I still have many years hopefully ahead of me in my life, and I don't want
to
keep repeating the same patterns. And so, yeah. And so, you know, that's kind of one thing. But another thing you said earlier when you shared about your interracial, relationship is teaching and learning. And you know, I've had that experience. I've been in a few over, you know, I'm 44 now, so I've had a few interracial.
You don't look a day over 30.
No, thank you. And all of those, there was a lot of teaching and learning, and to do that requires vulnerability and honesty and humility and all of these things. Like, I had things that I didn't have any idea of what it was like to walk in another's shoes, and until, you know, the brave people are willing to share their stories on, hey, this is what it feels like when I get pulled over by a police officer, you know, for example, which, yeah, so anyway.
No, I appreciate you sharing it. This is very meaningful to be able to connect there, because you've been there and you're able to reflect and share that. And so that I appreciate the honesty and being vulnerable enough to share with me. So what was your favorite chapter to write in Mending My Mind?
You know, none of them were too much fun because of the topic, but no, it's a great question. My favorite is actually the very last part of the book. So the first like three quarters is really kind of what I was doing to basically figure out what was off with me that was causing, you know, my life to not be fulfilling or happy or not to do well in relationships. And then, you know, there was a lot of things about kind of the therapeutic tools and approaches, both ancient as well as really modern kind of approaches for dealing with trauma. But the end, once I actually healed to a certain level, mm-hmm. I was like, wait, I could go so much further. And kind of, you know, Zach, I love kind of the GAME acronym. It's like, wait, there's such a thing as post-traumatic growth. So the kind of
last
25% of the book, like I actually feel like I have been able to take my life ultimately to a much higher level once I healed enough. Then there was this like massive growth that's occurred since.
Yes.
And so that was my favorite to write about.
You know what? I'm glad you are a gamer. Now you are a gamer. Sarah is a gamer. The thing about growth is, I would like to think of yourself as a tree, and, you're growing very tall, and then there's branches on a tree, and then you have the leaves that, you know, and the tree go through the different seasons. And so the tree is constantly growing, and that's how I approach life now. And that post-traumatic growth, I think I reached that at a very early age, because although I've had some things go on with me, I'm actually on the other end of the spectrum. I'm a black man. You're a white woman. And I always think that black women and black women and white men connect on a certain level. And I think that black men and white women connect on a certain level. And I'm talking about in corporate America and in society. Everything is exploited. People's happiness is exploited. But where we connect, where I connect with you, is that I'm coming from the other end of the spectrum of being a black man. And so I had a self-worth problem. That was the most trauma I was dealing with. I was allowing people to do things to me that I shouldn't allow. And once I realized, I grew to a certain point, but once I realized that I still wasn't doing enough because I hadn't looked in the mirror and I hadn't been alone and gotten to know myself enough, I was able to pinpoint, you know, what I was doing and what I was allowing and how that was hindering me. And then I became super, super, super addicted to growing. So every day since that day, I'm literally like talking about We Game podcasts and growing and looking for other people to connect with, such as yourself, and just so we could tell our stories from all the different angles and meet at this intersection. And you being a same gender loving human being, that's what my friends say, that same gender loving, you know, not take sexuality out, because gender is transitioning these days. And so the way I stay safe is same gender loving, or, you know, just a human being loving other human beings. You did the best that you could when you were in those relationships, and now you are here and you're being your higher self. And that's, you're just in a different season, and your roots are deeper and stronger, and you're a tree. You haven't been cut down, but you're providing so much protection for the next people that's in line, or someone right now that we don't know where they are, but they're going to listen to this and they're going to say, you know what? I can connect with them. And they're going to be not a white woman or a black man. They're going to be someone we can't see. And they're going to connect with the story because they're human. And that's the power of mending your mind. That's what I know before I even read the book, because I'm going to read the book. But before I even read the book, I know a mended mind is you're able to connect on a human level, and you gain compassion for people because you have compassion for yourself, and you give people grace and time to grow and to meet themselves.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. Like, seeing what you've done, you know, and all these things you're doing in the world and in the service that you're providing. I'm not quite as far along as you, for sure.
I'm not quite as far along as you. I haven't finished my book. So we're where we're supposed to be right now. And that's what matters.
That is true.
And we're mindful of where we are now. It's the now that we have. And so we're exactly where we're supposed to be.
You know what? No, that makes sense. What I can say is, when I hit the post-traumatic growth phase, I had a huge urge to be of service to others in various ways. It could be, that was one of the weirdest parts of that mark that I was hitting the growth phase. Like, I started noticing little things like, oh, you know, this woman's hands are full. Let me open the door. Like, you know, things that might have went over my head. Let me do these little things. Or there's, you know, I mean, silly little things. Oh, there's, you know, trash on the ground.
Oh, they're not silly though, because people value that. You know, and it's small things. I value you coming and sharing your story. So this is major for me. This is therapeutic for me.
Thank you.
And so it's therapy for me.
Thank you.
And so I appreciate it. And that's the thing. We can't measure. It's the value system. I say this in most of my interviews. You know, it's what we value and what we're taught to value. Sometimes we have to, you know, kind of rig it up a little bit, you know, kind of like downloading apps to your phone, to your brain. You have to delete some of them. Some of them are obsolete. Some value systems don't have a place anymore. And so, you know, everything that you're doing of service, whether it's opening a door or just speaking to someone or doing anything nice, it's valuable to the universe. You take all the money and the clothes and the possessions away, that's very valuable. People will remember how you treated them and the difference that you made in their life in that moment. And it won't have anything to do with anything but you taking joy and being of service.
Thanks for saying that. So that makes a lot of sense. And that's where I am right now. And my journey is how do I... So many people were of service to me, quite frankly, the few years I was falling apart. And so it's, is there a way I can try to, you know, give something back?
Yes. I totally get it.
Yeah, so anyway, that's where I am.
You're giving back, and don't give yourself grace and time, and, you know, move by the Spirit. You'll feel it when it's time. You know, you'll feel when it's time for you to, the book, you've given a lot. When you share your story, you giving more than you know. It's going to be people, like I said, you're going to download that book. They're going to listen to this interview, and they're going to feel very liberated in that moment. Now, the challenge for the people that are listening, the challenge is staying mindful in your journey and not being afraid to press ahead. Because I don't know for you, Sarah, but for me, it can be uncomfortable at times, and you have to push through those uncomfortable moments, you know, to get to the other side. And then once you're on the other side, you're like, "Woof, that was work," you know, like, shit.
Totally.
Wow. Like, oh, hell, yes. You know, give me an edible. You know, just, yeah.
Totally. Like, absolutely. Like, you know, it was so much easier for me to numb out, you know, work or edibles for some, for sure, like, or whatever mechanism people use to avoid, because walking through, like, the real stuff deep inside, it is hard, it is, like, brutal at times, but the other side is so much more beautiful.
Oh, yes.
Once you get there.
It is. Well, I know we're running short on time. My producer, he gonna get on me, so I could talk to you forever. You know, that's why I have a podcast. I love to talk. And so I just want to let you know, thank you for coming. Thank you for accepting the invitation and coming to We Game and sharing your story. We Game is under construction right now, but I'll be telling people about the book. I'll be downloading the book myself. And maybe I can get an autographed copy, email you my address, and you can send me an autographed copy.
Of course.
And I can put it in my book, because there's so much to come. And you can come back to We Game when I finish The Drowning Flower, and I can tell you how you helped me just today with sharing your story.
I can't wait to read your book.
Let me tell you, I've been.
When does it come out?
I'm not sure because I'm currently going through chemotherapy. I have chemo tomorrow, and I'm so ambitious. I'm creating We Game Podcast, and you know we're doing this together. And you know when you're doing it, as you were writing your book, you know you have to facilitate your dreams. And so I retired from doing hair, and I'm working overnight, and I'm in school, and I'm doing so much. So I'm just gonna let it naturally flow. But I have faith that I'll be here and to share that story. And I've been writing as much as I can. I just have to put it together and iron it out and stay inspired. That's it. Just stay inspired. And I hope to be done by next year, you know, with the book. Maybe my birthday, 42 years old. I think I'll be 41 on February 19th. And so hopefully I'll, you know.
Happy early birthday.
Well, thank you very much. If you don't mind me asking, when's your birthday?
November 25th.
November 25th. Wow. My grandmother's birthday is November 23rd. And my bonus daughter, her birthday is November 22nd.
Okay. Some Sagittarius's.
She on the cusp. Sagittarius 23rd. But I love Sagittarius. Sagittarius are... especially the November Sagittarius, I love them the most. Sorry, December Sagittarius.
Like personal connection. No, it's good.
Look, I have to apologize to the December Sagittarius listening. I like you guys too, but I just love the my granny is and it's one of my biggest inspirations. She's a very tough person, and so you know, sometimes I wonder how she did it or how she's doing it. Should I say?
Okay. No, fair enough. I'm glad she's still with the world. Yeah.
So if you had one nugget.
I also want to.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I said I wanted to return the thank you to you for having me on and having these courageous conversations and to your audience. Like, you know, these are wonderful growth minded people who spend time to think about, you know, all of these kind of great things. And so anyway, it's really inspiring to be here.
Well, thank you. So I have one thing I'm going to ask. If you had one nugget, one thing you can leave with the gamers that's listening, the people that we can't see, if you had one thing to share that could assist them along their journey, what would you say?
Allow yourself to feel your feelings, and to do that, it takes making space and not using leaning on the avoidance things that we do sometimes. As hard as it is, there's so much wisdom in our emotions and our feelings if we make space to tap into them.
That's great. Sarah Church, Mending My Mind. It's available on where all is it available? I know. I think I saw Kindle.
Thank you. It's on Amazon and Kindle and Barnes and Noble and indie books for folks, you know, supporting independent booksellers and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, most definitely, we'll be checking it out here at We Game. And again, thank you. And I look forward to you coming back. I'm going to save your information. And when I get my transcript, my book written, maybe you can assist me and give me some pointers and point me in direction to help this facilitate and manifest this dream of mine.
100%. Like getting stories, you know, other people's stories out in the world, but what I hope to actually do next in any way, shape, or form that I can contribute.
Grow, align, manifest, and evolve. Game. Show your support for the We Game Podcast by donating to $AudioCash on the Cash App. Remember, you can listen to the We Game Podcast anytime on all streaming platforms. The We Game Podcast is part of a Grow production company.